Okay, take your Bibles, please, and go to Mark chapter 2, if you will. Mark chapter 2. We are bringing a message on reaching the point of desperation. From Mark chapter 2, I want to read the first few verses to you, verses 1 through 4. So if you all look there, please, I'll read the passage to you. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. Our dear Father, tonight, how we thank you for the music. We thank you, Lord, for this ministry. I pray, Lord, tonight that the Spirit of God will quieten our heart. There might be an unusual tension given to the Word of God. And may Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, be magnified. Your name honored, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage before us, we find a man who had palsy. He could not walk. And the Word of God says there were four men who were his dear friends, and they wanted to get the man to Jesus Christ. You see, they heard of the miracles of the Savior, where Christ opened the eyes of the blind. He caused the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He cured people of leprosy. He raised others from the dead. And they said, we've got to get this man to Christ. And therefore, the Word of God tells us, these men put that man on a cot, a little bed, and they go to where Christ was. And the first thing I want you to observe from this passage is the resistance that they encountered. Look at verse 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. Stop right there. Look here, please. There were so many people in the house, so many people outside the house, they couldn't even get near the door. There was a resistance that they encountered. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, every time you try to bring people to Christ, there will be a resistance that you will encounter. Why? We're involved in a spiritual battle, congregation. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in battle with the unseen powers of darkness. And every time the Word of God goes out, there is a resistance. Luke 8:12 says, those by the wayside, they did hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So you put this down, congregation. In your endeavor of bringing people to Christ this week, there is a resistance that you will encounter. But second of all, I want you to see that the resolution they made was intense. Look at verse 4 again. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Look this way, please. I have a wild imagination. I have always had a wild imagination. My daughter Jennifer says, I have a boy's mind trapped in a man's body. And no, in my mind, I can visualize the scene. I could see these four men. There's one in the back, one in the front, likewise on the other side. They're carrying the man to Jesus. They're so excited. And when they get near the house, they look and see this tremendous crowd. It is so huge, congregation. They can't even see the door. And perhaps one man said, "What are we going to do? Look at that crowd." Maybe another man voiced, "There's no sense of us trying. There's no way we can get him there." Perhaps the third man said, "We might as well go home. Let's go back." But a fourth man said, "Hey, just a moment. I've got a plan." And they said, "What is that?" He said, "Let's get him on top of the roof of the house." And so, somehow, they got this man on top of the house. And then the three men said to the man with the plan, "Now, what is your plan?" And he said, "We're going to tear a hole in this roof, and we're going to get that man to Jesus Christ." And the Word of God says they made a huge hole. They tore a hole, big hole in the roof of that place. And this was not even their own house. You know something? They had reached a point of desperation. They said, "We've got to get the man to Jesus Christ. I don't care if we look like fools. We've got to get the man to Christ." You know what, my friend? Minutes ago here in West Virginia, in Fairmont, a dear friend of mine was trying to witness to a coal miner. And you may know him, you may not know him. His name is Jack Smargo. His wife's name is Patty. He was a boss in the coal mine here in this area. He lived here in Fairmont. And my good friend, every Thursday night, would go to Jack's home and try to witness to Jack. And every time he came walking down the walkway, Jack and his wife, Patty, would go and hide in the bedroom, act like they were not home. This went on for one whole year. Every Thursday night, without fail, this man would go walking down the sidewalk. Jack and Patty would go hiding in the side room. For 2 years in a row, without missing a single Thursday night, my friend would go to Jack's house, and Jack and Patty would hide in the bedroom. 2 years in a row. At the end of the second year, Jack turned to Patty one night and said, "Patty, he has been here for 2 years in a row, every Thursday. Let's let him in and get rid of him." And so Patty agreed. And my friend went in that house that evening. He sat down. He took the Bible. He began to show Jack and Patty the way of salvation. And Patty began to weep. And Jack said, "No one's ever showed this to us from the Bible." And that night, my good friend led Jack and Patty Smargo to Jesus Christ. And Jack and Patty joined our church. And Jack and my father, Mike Savinsky, became soul-winning partners. And every week, my dad and Jack would go soul-winning. And through that, God called Jack to preach. And Jack goes down to Bob Jones University, preparing for the ministry. When he was a senior, he won the soul-winning award. He won more souls to Christ in 4 years than any student at Bob Jones University. He won the soul-winning award. Jack pastored a church in South Carolina. He now goes across the world in mission work, preaching the gospel. Several years ago, Jack and I were talking. He's a dear friend of mine. Jack said to me, I said, "Jack, did you know about Dot hiding on you?" And he began to weep. He wept in my presence. He said, "Jerry, where would I have been if he gave up on me? How I thank God he did not give up on me." And then, shortly after that, I was here in West Virginia, and I talked with my friend. I said, did you know Jack and Patty were hiding on you? And he said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But I was determined by the grace of God to reach Jack Smargo for Jesus Christ. You know what, child of God? I would that God would instill in your hearts a resolution not to give up on your loved one. Look, the Bible says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And congregation, these men made a huge hole in the roof. The resolution was intense. But third of all, the results were miraculous. Look at verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said in the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now look at verse 12. The word of God says in verse 12, and immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Look here, please. Are you aware, lady? Hey, sir, look at me. Are you aware? You will never see it on this fashion until you recognize there's a resolution you will encounter. There is a resolution that must be intense. I will not give up before you see God do the miraculous. Many years ago, I was in Tipton, Indiana, in revival meetings with Pastor Larry Huffan. And one night we had a meal, his wife and my wife, and we all had a good time together. And my wife was going to go back with Mrs. Huffan, and Brother Larry and I were going to go to the hospital and visit a man. This was before the service. On our way to the hospital, Pastor Huffan said to me, Jerry, I don't think we're going to go and visit this man. I said, why, Brother Larry? He said, Jerry, we have visited this man 150 times. There's no exaggeration. He said, Jerry, I'm not exaggerating. We have visited him, if not more than 150 times. Everyone in the country has spoken to him. He said, I don't think we'll go see him. I said, let me meet him. He said, no, Jerry. I said, yeah, Larry, let me meet him. He said, okay. So we go to the hospital. I walked in a man's room. His name was Mr. Hall. And pastor said, Mr. Hall, this is Jerry Savinsky. He's an evangelist. The guy was in bed. He was sitting up. And so we began the talk. And I sat down on the bed beside him, and I said, we start talking. And all of a sudden, I said, Mr. Hall, do you love hunting? And the guy's eyeballs got this big around. He said, well, yes, I do. Do you? I said, hey, I'm from West Virginia. I was raised on wild meat. I'm telling you, my friend, we lived off of wild meats. He said, you love hunting? I said, I've hunted all my life. And then we start talking about fishing. I said, I love fishing. He sat up even more in bed and said, you love fishing? I said, oh, yeah. I fished every famous place in West Virginia. I love fishing. And then in my course of conversation, I said, now, Mr. Hall, I'm an evangelist, and I've got to go. I said, before I go, would you mind if I ask you a question? He said, no, what would that be? I said, Mr. Hall, have you ever thought, when you die, where you'll spend eternity? God's my witness, these are the exact words he said. He said, funny thing, you asked me that question. I said, why? He said, because I've been thinking about it all day long. I said, really? He said, yes. I said, Mr. Hall, would you mind if I took the Bible and showed you something? He said, no, not at all. I said, beside that man, I began to give the way of salvation. And finally, I said, now, Mr. Hall, I cannot force you to come to Christ. This has to be from your hearts. But I'm asking you, would you like for the Lord to save you? He said, yes, I know I should have done this a long time ago. He prayed. He invited Christ in his heart. When he did, I looked at Pastor. I'll never forget this as long as I live. He sat in the chair. He had his hands in his face, and he just kept going like this. He couldn't believe it. We got in the car, and he said to me, you know, Jerry, I've been rebuked of the Lord tonight. I've been rebuked of the Lord. That man has been so hardened. I've been rebuked. I got to church at night. I got up and I said, congregation, I just came from the church. I just led Mr. Hall to Christ. And when I said that, two ladies burst out weeping. You know why? Those were his two sisters who had prayed for years for him to get saved. You know what, congregation? We're not going to see the miraculous by having thick notebooks, being straight in our theology, correct in our music, and never go out realizing there's a resistance you will encounter. There has to be this intense resolution before we ever see God do the miraculous. However, if you're unsaved, my friend, you need to reach the point of desperation tonight. This may horrify you and shock you, but today there are a lot of people who died and did not expect that they would meet God. They had no concept this was the last day on their earth. Those 20 people that were murdered in that church had no idea going to church would result in them meeting a holy God. And you know what? A lot of people today died and they end up in hell. And you know what? Those who heard the gospel who died without Christ are now horrified for all eternity because they rejected God's Son. And the greatest resolution in your life is coming to Christ, letting Christ save you. You've got to realize the urgency of the hour. And my friend, reaching the point of desperation is crucial in your life. Why? Because if you were dropped dead where you're seated right now without Christ, you are lost for all eternity. I was preaching just a few weeks ago in a large church, a huge church of around 500 people. And when I gave the invitation, a dear lady and others raised their hand for salvation. Now listen, because this is absolutely phenomenal what happened. I'm explaining the invitation. 500 people are seated. And I said, if you raise your hand, in a moment, we're going to give the invitation. If you want to be saved, you can come down the aisle and let someone take you in a side room. And when I said that, while 500 people are seated, that lady jumped up in front of 500 people, came down to the pastor and said, I want to get saved. She had reached the point of desperation. It's almost like she was not aware there were 500 people watching her come down the aisle to Christ. You know what, this evening, I pray to God, if you're unsaved, you'd come to Christ, the one who died for you. The only one that can forgive you of your sins, can give you peace, can give you the joy that you're trying to find. And I thank God tonight, whenever a person comes to Christ, he readily will accept you. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, and he'll save you as well. Let's bow our heads and pray, please.